And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is recovering from bad situations. My first guest gave us a remarkable firsthand insight into President John F. Kennedy's assassination at Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. He was a Secret Service agent assigned to the President Kennedy detail. My next guest sees green where others see only red. He's going to discuss how to find islands of profit in a sea of red ink. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Jonathan Burns is a senior lecturer at MIT, no less. He's an acknowledged authority on profitability management. His extensive experience spans virtually every industry. At MIT, Dr. Burns has taught at the graduate level and in executive programs for nearly 20 years. He's authored over 100 books, articles, cases, notes, and expert submissions. He's the president of Jonathan Byrne & Company, a consulting company founded back in 1976, and Dr. Burns earned his DBA from Harvard University back in 1980. Welcome to the show, Dr. Burns. How are you today?
I'm just fine. Please call me Jonathan.
Oh, okay. I'll call you Jonathan.
Thank you very much. Very nice to be on here, and thank you very much to the listeners.
Well, thank you for joining us, Jonathan, because your book is a lot of fun, and you actually coined a phrase which I like very much. You use the term that this is the age of precision markets. What do you mean by that?
Well, thank you for asking that. It's actually a very important question, because the answer to that, I think, underlies the reason why virtually every company I've seen, and I've crawled inside many, many companies over the past 20 years, is 30 to 40% unprofitable by any measure, and 20 to 30% provides all the reported profits and subsidizes the losses.
Wow.
In order to understand the age of precision markets, you have to go back a step to the prior century.
Okay.
For the whole prior century, we were in what was called the age of mass markets. And this started when roads were paved and railroads came into being. And basically, local markets consolidated. I'm not going to get too technical about it, but the name of the game in that era was to get massive volume in manufacturing, because that allowed companies to drive the cost down.
Sure.
So what they wanted to do is distribute their products as broadly as possible with arm's-length relationships with all customers.
Okay.
And names like Procter & Gamble, General Foods, Ivory Soap, all of those really characterize that era. And virtually all of the way that we run businesses in what we teach in business schools, and I teach in MIT, came out of that era. The problem is, that over the past 10 or 15 years, we've moved into a new era that I call the age of precision markets. And essentially, in this era that we're in, companies form different relationships with different customers that have different cost and revenue characteristics. So in the old days, if you plopped all the revenues in one bucket and all the costs in the other bucket, you knew how much money you were making.
Right.
And you could control your company that way. Today, you can't do that. It does give you an accurate financial picture. I'm on the audit committee of a New York Stock Exchange company, and I'm here to say that the total is accurate. But you cannot tell. If I were to go into any of your listeners' companies and say, pick out five customers at random and five products in each customer at random, and tell me how profitable each of those is, they couldn't give me an answer, I'm willing to bet. And so that's the source of this massive embedded unprofitability that I've seen in every company that I've taken a look at.
Well, now that's very interesting. Of course, the main thesis of your book, let me just restate them again. Nearly 40% of every company is unprofitable. Amazing. And then 20 to 30% of every company is so profitable that it actually carries the rest of the entire company. That's a phenomenal finding. So you've looked at companies, hundreds of companies, I'm sure, in doing these studies. How did you first discover this very provocative phenomenon?
It's interesting. About 20 years ago, I was working with the top management of a major laboratory supply distributor, and we were looking at initiatives that we could do, and typically you look at a new product or you look at a new strategy or an acquisition, and we thought, let's first take a look at where we're making money and do more of it. And when I looked at the numbers, I couldn't figure out where the company was making money. So what I did instead is I basically developed a new way to figure out profitability, where essentially you take an extract of a couple of months, and you can do this on a PC in a matter of weeks. You take an extract of a couple of months of every order line, every transaction, and then you essentially do an income statement on every order line, and then you can see for every order what's profitable and what's not, and then you put it into a database program and sort of go hunting around for what's profitable and what isn't.
Oh, very
interesting. The results are really, really astonishing.
Very
so
interesting.
I did the same study at the same time I was advising the company that became Verizon, and the same thing happened there, food and beverages, steel, financial services, software, professional services, you know, even a local auto repair shop. They all look the same.
Okay. We're talking to Jonathan Burns, everybody, author of the book Islands of Profit in a Sea of Red Ink. I think it's very fascinating. The very first step in what you did was really rethink how business reports profitability, which is good. And in fact, the first step in your process of healing a company is to rethink each of the assumptions about what it takes to be successful and profitable. Of course, that's easier said than done. For an established company, how do you recommend that they sit down, whether they're a large company or a small company? How do you suggest that they sit down and rethink how they make their money?
Well, the first step, as you just pointed out, Bill, is to understand the baseline. Where are you making money today? And where are you losing money? And you do it through the technique I just described, which I call profit mapping. And again, to do this at 70% accuracy, which is plenty accurate enough for anything, you could do a $10 billion company in a matter of probably 4 to 6 weeks with two people and a PC. and I've done it many, many times. It's really quite easy to do. But the real issue after that is, what do you do about it? And most people would say, oh, my goodness, do I have to fire 30 to 40% of my customers that are unprofitable? And the answer is, that's the last thing you'd ever do, and, in fact, you'd never do it. The most important thing, and it's almost counterintuitive, is that if 20% of your business is giving you all your cash flow and subsidizing the losses, the absolute most important thing you can do is make sure that you lock it down and keep it.
Sure.
And a smart competitor will go right after that. Now, the problem that most companies have, even, you know, a small auto repair shop, a distributor, you know, up to a national company, the problem they have is that they're using average cost pricing and average service measures. So if on average it costs a certain amount to serve an account and your good accounts that are giving you 20% of the profits usually are much less costly to serve, and you have an average service level of 90-something percent, you're probably overpricing, overcharging and underserving your best customers. So you're in trouble right there. And that's the case of most companies. The first priority is to secure your islands of profit. The second is to grow them, because they're usually the most growable part of the company. And in fact, companies that know how to do this well, examples would be Procter & Gamble, Chiquita, you know, a number of smallish companies, are accumulating market share in this so-so economy. And this is recovering from a bad situation. It's like a land rush for market share and profits. The companies that know how to do this, who knew how to provide the right service at the right price to the right customers, are gaining market share as fast as they can swallow it.
All right, we're talking to Jonathan Burns. Jonathan, I want to stop you and ask you about Procter & Gamble, because there is one of the world's largest companies, certainly the largest consumer packaged goods company in the world, very successful. They've spun off brands over the last 10 years that were themselves, the brands were unprofitable for them. You say that they're leading the charge in finding the most profitable customers and serving those customers. Can you give us some examples?
Well, the obvious one that everybody knows about is Walmart, where they've got a multifunctional account management team in Bentonville, Arkansas. It has four elements. The first element is sales and marketing. The second is distribution. The third is IT, because they have very tight computer ties with Walmart. And the fourth is finance. And the reason for that is that the way that they sell to Walmart, they don't sell to the merchants. They sell to Walmart's chief financial officer, and their argument is that you will be much, much more profitable on the products that we jointly sell and cooperate on than you would on products where you're working with other vendors.
Interesting.
And in fact, as driven double-digit profit increases and growth increases for decades. Now, what most people don't know about, and P&G is an affiliate of ours, center at MIT, so we've seen this from the inside. What most people don't know about is that as Procter & Gamble moved much more heavily and intimately into its most important accounts, it pulled out of most of its small accounts. So unless an account could take one truckload per week, they moved it over to a master distributor. And so they didn't talk about that in the press. They only talked about the big accounts, but they absolutely refocused the business on their major accounts. And not only the big accounts, but the accounts that had good cooperation and good growth potential. But I think that the moral of the story for a relatively small company is that if you know how to be a good partner, you can have a massive increase in market share very quickly in a mediocre economy and tremendous increase in profitability. But what I've seen in a lot of industries is that there's a split going on where the people who know how to do this well are accelerating, even in the so-so economy, and the others are absolutely falling dead.
All right. We're talking to Jonathan Burns, everybody, author of the book Islands of Profit in a Sea of Red Ink. Now, Jonathan, you were talking about this, and it sounds very, very intriguing, and it sounds very important. This is a new step. First, you rethink the business. You do the profit mapping, as you said. You only have to be about 70% accurate in your profit mapping, but that's the easy part. Then you've got to sell this new concept to everyone else in the company. That's where the work begins. Tell us, how do you go about re-energizing, revitalizing a company and getting to think along these new lines?
Well, that's a very, very good question. There are two things that I think are critical to do. The first one is that when you focus on your best customers, on securing and growing them, sales takes off very quickly and people migrate over to a success model. In addition, there are a number of things. When you have a profit map, you can understand for each product and each customer what you have to do to make it profitable. And then you can energize your sales force very easily. You just give them a simple red, yellow, green chart that says for this account and these products, they have to order less frequently. For those products, they have to do something else. And in the book, I describe all the steps. It was really quite simple, and it actually is good for the customers also. And then you align the sales compensation with profitability rather than just revenue.
Gotcha. All right, John, we're talking to Jonathan Burns, everybody. Jonathan, now you're calling into Ventura County, California. We have a lot of small and mid-sized companies. We don't have the Procter & Gambles, although we do have Amgen as our biggest company in the county. So let's bring it down to the small business size, if you can, and let's make up a fictitious company. Let's say it's an automotive transmission repair shop. How would they go about implementing what you're talking about with the profit map and then changing their philosophy?
Well, what they would do is very, very simply download a couple of months of transactions into a PC. That would be orders, you know, the rebuilds and so on and so forth. And using the techniques I describe in the book, figure out 20% that's giving them all the money, and then understand who those customers are and which products they are, and secure them, and then use that profile to seek more business in that area and then understand the places where they're not making as much money and figure out how to remedy it. I'm actually quite familiar with that business because I was on the board of directors of a major auto parts distributor that we sold to Advance Auto Parts.
Oh.
I'm sure you have Advance over there.
Yes, we do. Sure.
And so we were selling into these accounts. And, you know, for example, typically an account like that, a company like that is not terribly good at supply chain management. So if they can forecast and they know what kind of business is coming in, they could work with an Advance Auto Part and drive down the cost of the parts. So there are a number of things that could be done really quite easily that's good for everybody in the supply chain. And in a certain sense, it's almost like trying to drive through a city without a roadmap. Once you have the roadmap, you know where to go, you know where to turn, and it all becomes easy. And I think that if somebody were to say, well, what do I do on Monday morning? My answer would be, you know, take a look at Chapter 6 in the book, pull out a PC, and do a quick and dirty profit map, and I guarantee that your life will never be the same.
All right.
We're talking a couple of weeks, and you'll be blown away.
We're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to Jonathan Burns, everybody. Islands of Profit in a Sea of Red Ink, Why 40% of Your Business is Unprofitable, and How to Fix It. Jonathan, people listening to the sound of your voice, they want to learn more about your book. They want to get that Chapter 6 that you just mentioned. Where would you direct them to go to find out more about you and more about your book, Islands of Profit?
Yes, thank you for asking. There is a website that I've created. It's called islandsofprofit.com. And just go there. You can also link into my MIT website if you want to get down into the technical details through that Islands of Profit website, islandsofprofit.com.
Islandsofprofit.com. That's great. We've been talking to Jonathan Burns, everybody, author of the book, Islands of Profit in a Sea of Red Ink. Jonathan, it's great. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much, and enjoy your nice weather. We have snow up here.
We'll enjoy our weather. You enjoy your holiday. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Same to you, and same to all the viewers.
Thanks so much.